Now, I wish to talk about the practical applications of the understanding of the law of karma. If we truly apply the understanding of karma in our day-to-day lives, we can avoid lots of problems and sufferings. Let's consider the field of career guidance. It is the duty of parents to provide the necessary education and training for their children to have a suitable profession. What is meant by a suitable profession? Doctors, engineers, lawyers, accountants, IT specialists? Are these the only suitable professions for your children? Most youths are either influenced by their parents or peer groups in choosing their career. Few receive proper parental guidance. On the basis of the law of karma, parents should observe their children from very young days. Observe their behavior, their abilities and potentials, and then pave the way for them to accomplish their aspirations with whatever knowledge and skills they have already brought along with them from life to life. Through careful observation and application of the understanding of the law of karma, parents and teachers will be able to bring out the best in their children and students, not the best for themselves, only to boost their own status quo and ego. Another area in which I would like to touch on is the problem of relationship and the choice of a companion. Why are there so many failures and setbacks in marriage lives? If we have some faith in the teachings of karma and rebirth, we have to realize that this is not our only lifetime. We have lived before. That means we have had other mothers and fathers, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, children, teachers, relatives, friends, and so on. The people whom we meet in this present life, whom we have strong affinity with, they are often those whom we have met before, whom we love and cared for, whom we may have also cheated and tortured in various ways. The Buddha's advice with regards to seeking companionship is to look out for someone who has a similar or slightly higher level of understanding than oneself. That understanding is about life, about our core beliefs in life. This is how we can pave the way for one another to grow. That is what a true marriage is about. Eventually, it is to support and pave the way for one another to get out of the samsaric cycle of birth and death. Marriage should not be about producing babies alone. There is nothing wrong in producing babies. It is good to pave the way for the birth of a human being. But along with it comes the great responsibility to also pave the way for them to overcome all sufferings. If we take into consideration of the law of karma and rebirth, we will realize that those who have similar levels of understanding, whom we are able to relate with, will usually be those with whom we have had lived and grown up successfully before. However, there will be lots of others to choose from, such as those with good looks and money. Beauty is only skin deep. Wealth and status quo, they come and go. So do look for all those values, something deeper and more meaningful, such as wisdom and compassion, and other spiritual qualities, and your relationship will endure, and you will grow together as good Kalyana Mittas, or spiritual friends. The understanding of karma will also help us to develop a forgiving heart. We need to understand that whatever happens to us, whatever experiences we go through in life, all have arisen as a result of causes and conditions. So if we are experiencing something which we truly feel that we do not deserve, for example, if you have always been faithful and truthful to your spouse or partner, yet he or she betrays your confidence, or if you have truly and sincerely cared for others and they suddenly turn against you, then you need to apply the understanding of the law of karma, that nothing happens without a cause. Everything has arisen through causes and conditions. Whatever we are experiencing now is the result or the consequence of some actions or karmas which we have done in the past. We may not have done such cruel and bad deeds in this lifetime, but what about in the past, in our many previous lives? It is difficult to think that we have not done any bad actions in our past lives. When we reflect in this manner, we will learn to accept whatever situation that arises in our life. We need not react to the situation and try to fight back or seek revenge on others. If we do so, we will only be generating more fresh karmas, which will cause the situation to repeat itself from life to life. Reflecting on the law of karma, we will learn to endure adverse conditions and to accept things as they come. We will be able to let go of our grudges and forgive those who have cheated or harmed us in any way. When we realize that we could have done many bad things in the past, we will also begin to feel the need for repentance. We will begin to seek forgiveness from others for whatever wrong that we may have done to them in the past. Having repented for our own actions, we need to move on, to walk the right path, to aspire to walk the Dhamma's way. That is how we'll be able to overcome the sense of remorse in our hearts. That's why there is the practice of the observance of the five precepts in practically every religious functions or Buddha puja. They are not merely rituals. They are meant for those who have violated any of the precepts of killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, and the indulgence in intoxicants, to renew their commitment to walk the Dhamma's way. The truly forgiving heart must also enable one to forgive oneself of any mistakes or wrongdoings. For this, we need to realize that we have done all the wrong and the bad actions due to ignorance. Now that we have some wisdom to see what is right and what is wrong, our conscience may develop. We may feel remorseful for the bad things that we have done to ourselves and or to others. We need to seek forgiveness sincerely from our hearts, then aspire to walk the right way, the Dhamma's path, and then forgive ourselves and move on with our lives by avoiding all evil, by doing the good, and by purifying our minds. By avoiding evil and doing good, we will be able to experience more happy, peaceful moments in our lives. The good and bad karma do not offset or cancel off one another. This is how karma works. Black action gives rise to black results. White action gives rise to white results. Black and white action gives rise to black and white results, not gray. Black action refers to bad karma, and white actions refer to good karmas. Black and white actions means black and white results. That means good and bad actions gives rise to good and bad results. Just like the story of Robin Hood. He robs the rich to help the poor. Helping the poor is good, but robbing the rich is not so good. That's why Robin Hood has to meet with various threats and crises in his life. But somehow, because of his good deeds outweighs the bad ones, he always seems to be able to get out of trouble. Sometimes we have the good intention to help others, but the means by which we go about helping them may not be so pure and skillful. That is why, amidst the good results, we also have to go through some sufferings. Because good karma gives rise to good results. Bad karma gives rise to bad results. Good and bad karma gives rise to good and bad results. If we perform, say, 10 good actions for every one bad action, we will experience 10 happy moments and one unhappy moment. We can consider ourselves leading a fairly good way of life. But if we perform 10 good actions and 10 bad actions, when the results come, we may just be able to tolerate. Our lives will be only so-so. If, on the other hand, we perform 10 bad actions for every one good action, then our lives can be quite miserable. That is why we need to avoid the bad actions and do more and more good ones in order to be able to live, to continue to live comfortably. There are many karmas which can be offset through effort and wisdom. As mentioned earlier, if we associate with good company and practice restraint in our senses, then we can generate certain conditions which will not be favorable for the ripening of certain bad karmas. With regards to the stronger bad karmas, we need to strengthen our minds further in order to confront the unwholesome consequences without reacting to them and creating further karmas. Those who have developed strong faith and devotion will receive blessings from great spiritual masters and teachers. Such blessings are useful, especially when we are faced or going through with a period of bad karma. That's why we recommend people to be more spiritual, to lead more religious lives when they are faced with troubles and crises. Troubles, problems, crises, when they come, they usually come one after the other, just like the saying, when it rains, it pours. If we reflect on our lives, we will be able to see our good and bad times in life. They seem to come in cycles. Some people go through very difficult times when young, but as they get older, things become better. Others enjoy their younger days, but as they get older, they have to suffer. Our good and bad times, good and bad moods, they are all the result of the ripening of good and bad karmas. When good karma ripens, we will be in good form, happy and light-hearted. Whatever we wish to do, we will get support from others. On the other hand, when bad karma ripens, one after the other, we'll get into trouble and meet with various obstacles, one after the other. Even though we may have good intentions to help others, people will be suspicious about us. They may not cooperate with us, or may even blame and criticize our actions. When we realize that bad karmas are ripening, we should lie low to keep low profile. Do not be too busybody. Don't make important decisions by yourselves. Always consult good or more spiritual friends. Reverence, humility, patience, and obedience, these are important values that can help us go through the difficult times. So always remember, when you are enjoying good times, when you still possess wealth and good health, don't forget to do more good deeds. Convert your physical health to good mental health. Meditate more and go for retreats. convert your wealth to spiritual wealth. After all, this physical body is only a vehicle for our mind to grow, to develop to greater spirituality. Our material wealth, we must know how to use them for our spiritual well-being. Learn to convert your money into spiritual currencies. Then you will not have to worry about inflation, devaluation, and so on. Your good and bad karmas are the only currencies that you can take along with you at death. Now, another important benefit in the application of the law of karma in our day-to-day life is the establishment in ourselves of a proper sense of purpose and direction in life. With the understanding of the law of karma and rebirth, we will realize that we have lived before. We have made many promises and aspirations in the past. We have also acquired various knowledges and skills in the past. We just need to be connected. Then we will be able to tap our vast potentials to fulfill our promises and aspirations. How do we get connected? We need to get rid of many distractions, to reduce the habitual tendencies of the mind to allow the proliferation of thoughts, to get into states of calm and tranquility more and more. And in the calmness of your minds, the light of wisdom will begin to dawn upon you. You will know more things about yourselves and what you really need to do in this life to fulfill your ideals and aspirations that will bring greater peace and harmony in your lives. May the right understanding of karma lead you all to greater peace and prosperity. May you and all beings be well and happy always. May the blessings of the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha be with you all always.